You have just tuned in to Tales from the Merworld with me, Amira Beth, exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria. Are you ready to explore and validate the possibility that we are much more than our Earth bodies, and that we exist simultaneously in many different realms and realities? In this show, I will offer esoteric concepts like 5D, sacred geometry, the merbeings, and lost lands like Atlantis and Lemuria. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing Earth. Tales from the Merworld Radio starts now.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Merworld Radio, where we explore the ancient lands of Atlantis and Lemuria. Today is April 9th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today in this very auspicious and slightly confusing time that we're all now going through. You know, if you're following the news right now, which of course everybody is, following the world events, you know, we are all here taking part in something that is so phenomenal. We have an opportunity to witness something that is happening on this planet that has never, ever been done before. And through all the trials and tribulations, and through all the unknowns and all the big changes, the massive changes that are going on the planet right now, this show is really for you. It's for you and I to come together during this time and talk about topics like mythology and ancient history and theology, and how all those timelines, how all those concepts sort of weave together and create this tapestry of time in the cosmos, and maybe help us make a little bit of more sense of what's happening on this spiral of time in this reality now. You know, for those of you, if I'm brand new to you, my name is Amira Beth Merhealer. And I live on the beautiful island of Hawaii. And I live on Lemuria. Hawaii is literally the heart of the Lemurian civilization. So I'm very much connected to, you know, the ancient history of this land, to mythology of this land, and then also to the merbeings. I am an incarnated Atlantean merbeing. My resonance, my soul history, is truly with the Atlantean civilization, as well as the merbeings, and I get the great privilege to live here on the land of Lemuria and help us to all ignite and inspire and learn how to, what we're really doing is rewriting the history of the planet. We are rewriting and course correcting a spiral of time that happened 13,000 years ago during the last fall of Atlantis. And I have the great privilege to sit and share information with you, share my remembrances as channeled through the Mer people and through Archangel Metatron and through Goddess Yemaya, who is my Oversoul, and share with you the information they give me about how we are actually co-creating a course correction in the timeline and raising Atlantis and raising Lemuria and recreating a spiral of time that's going to set this planet, is setting this planet on a whole new trajectory. So it's very exciting today that I get to have my first interview on my show. And my very first interview could only be with my very dear friend, intuitive astrologer, Susan Grace, who is not only my soul sister, but somebody I consider to be one of the premier experts, if you will, on Atlantean astrology and Atlantean timelines. Susan Grace is extremely intuitive in the way she works and the way she helps people in her astrology readings. I'm going to let her talk a little bit more about herself and tell you all about what she offers in her personal sessions in a little while. But for now, I would just like you all to meet, if you don't know her already, Miss Susan Grace. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. You and I talk a lot about everything that you just encapsulated in the intro, and we talk about this often as if it's common language.
Yes.
And it is becoming common language. It's becoming more and more that people are starting to consider that mythology and the ancient texts and the the knowledge that has been passed down through generation after generation after generation actually matters, and we're starting to give more weight to it. So I'm very honored to be here talking with you about this today. Thank you.
Great. And so, you know, one of the main topics that we're going to talk about today, and what I really want people to understand, everything in God and life, everything in nature is a cycle. Everything is a cycle. Our seasons are in a cycle. The moon runs in cycles. Our bodies run in cycles, especially women's bodies run in monthly cycles. Everything is a cycle. And right now we are transiting one of the most important cycles that have ever been in the history of this planet, and really in the history of this cosmos, in the cosmos. And it's very exciting to be here, to witness this, to take part in what's happening. And I think when we have information, I think when our left brain gets to have like the facts, right? And gets to see visuals also that explain what's happening, why it's happening, it takes maybe a little bit of the fear away from the unknowns. Because the truth is, I mean, we don't really know how it's all going to turn out. I mean, we think we know, but we're not really sure what's going to happen during this cycle. And on the other side of the cycle, well, we are really trying to return this planet, you know, to the golden age of Atlantis and the golden age of Lemuria, and create a society and a civilization that is sustainable for all people, where all people are cared for, and where maybe we don't have to put up with all the kind of nonsense that's been going on planet Earth for thousands and thousands of years. So, you know, I'm just going to start by asking you a couple of questions. Help us understand how did you get started, or what made you feel really drawn to understanding more about, explaining more about the astrology of Atlantis? And I'm asking you about this because I know a lot of people you've worked with, and you've talked to a lot of them about their Atlantean lineage and their roles in Atlantis and what they're back here with those gifts, those talents, those challenges, trying to rewrite or trying to recreate. So what drew you to that?
Oh, it's very simple. It started with why. And I use the question why in nearly every reading that I'm in with people is, why is that there? Why is this happening? Why is that there? Why is this the lesson? Why are you having that reaction? Why? And I started a long time ago, I was in my 20s. I just dated myself. I started out with why. Why is this? Why do we pass along distress? Why do we pass along generational trauma? Why do we hurt each other? Why? And the more that I went into why, I would go back further and further and further and further. Organized religion didn't get me all the way there. I mean, I went into full-on mysticism, into Kabbalah, everything. I just kept going back further and further and further. And it is only through astrology and understanding the very expansive cycle that we're in that repeats over and over and over again that gave me the answer of why. So we are in a very long cycle around our sister star, Sirius, that lasts for 26,000 years, and we repeat it over and over and over. If you understand that cycle, then the question of why is very easily answered. And that's what motivated me to keep going further and further and further as far as I could go.
Right.
And you can go past 25,000 years. And you can go further than 26,000 years. It's understanding the cycle. Just like you said, all of life is a cycle. If you understand the cycle, then you can be in flow with it rather than resisting it. And you can do better at it rather than being worse.
Right. And I remember when I met you, and I think we actually met on an interview on a podcast similar to this. We were both guests. And that was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And after I had my first astrology reading with you, you confirmed so much for me that I had been feeling intuitively about my mission and about my purpose. And one of the things I love about your readings is I think you really help people connect to why they are here on this planet, to what their gifts are, what their challenges are, how to overcome them, and how to look at their astrology chart as a roadmap for in the now, for in the moment, and where their astrology can take them. Because let's face it, we all want to know why we're here. We all want to know what karma brought us here, what dharma brought us here, how we can maybe learn to look at our blueprint, you know, our astrology map as a guidance system to understand ourselves better and how to work through some of those challenges and step deeper into our latent gifts, into our purpose and into our passion for why we're here on the earth. I think everybody wants to contribute in some way. All of us here want to contribute today in co-creating the new earth. And one of the things you do so wonderfully is help people step into that. And as we talk through my chart and you looked at me, I remember you looked at my grand water trine and you said, Amira, you really are a mermaid. Do you know
literally,
that?
Literally.
You know, you're literally a mermaid. I said, I do, but thank you, because sometimes you need to hear that second party and have like the facts, you know, have the roadmap that says what we feel is our truth. You know, what we know to our core is our soul purpose and our soul and spirit talking to us, because we all come from somewhere else. You know, none of us really come from here, right?
Right. And I think that this is a particularly challenging time, because I think a lot of us are being triggered by having been here during the fall.
Yes.
And when you were here during the fall, I think that that started an original wounding. Mm-hmm. That had a whole lot of trauma and karmic cycles that resulted from it. So
yes.
Like, for instance, I happen to have a karmic memory about my original wounding. My original wounding was that I had a hand in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that
right.
cut to my soul, right? It cut all the way to my soul. And so now when we're coming out of the cycle of paying a quote penance for our role in the downfall, we get to forgive ourselves. And we get to forgive each other, and we get to repair the ties that bind us together, and we get to emerge.
Yes.
And that's a very intense process.
You know, and you're saying that is so very important, because I work with a lot of healers. One of the things I specialize in is not only healers, people in general who have an unconscious or a conscious memory of being there for one or more of the falls of Atlantis. And there is this, imprint in a lot of healers that kind of like you, it helps them to feel like they were responsible. Like whatever role they played, I've actually talked to healers who said, I was responsible for the whole thing. I brought down Atlantis. It was my fault. And which is so not true. But when I started to hear this over and over again, so, and there was so much pain and grief in these healers who felt like they were here to pay penance and repair the karma for something they felt they caused for the fall of Atlantis. When I started to work with them through past life regression therapy, through going back through those records of time, going back into their own Akasha and revisiting that, what we found over and over and over again is that nobody was responsible.
Right.
It was an experiment. The variable added to the experiment, which was the darkness, was something we all signed up for. We were all aware it was going to happen. It was basically an experiment to see if we could still hold our fifth dimensional consciousness in a 3D body. Okay, and you can't do that unless you had a variable. So when I explain that to people through their own remembrance, that you actually came here knowing you're gonna fuck shit up, I guess that's what I'll say. And that it was all allowed, and that it was all okay. And now in this pile of time, you came in with the ability, we all came in with the ability to course correct any karma that may have happened, and to step into our dharma to do it differently, to move from 3D beings into a fifth dimensional mindset, co-create fifth dimensional reality, consciousness, in our 3D bodies while getting to be human at the same time. And us getting to be human and not having to turn into, you know, meta-human, I guess is a great word for it, but getting to retain our humanness is a very important part of remembering what a great gift it is to be a human, and that we don't have to be afraid of our humanness, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think is important about recognizing cycles, is that we always go into winter. We always go
yes.
into a descent. We always go into falling into what we know we aren't, so that we can learn what we are. There will be another descent. There will be another fall. There will be, but we can do it differently next time.
Right. And Susan, I think, Zach, I think we're just going to go ahead and skip our first commercial. And I'm just going to cue the chart, Susan, and let's dive right into it. I'm going to let you really explain because you're so knowledgeable on this topic, and you explain these cycles so succinctly. I'm just going to let you go ahead and jump in on the chart and let me know kind of like where you would like to start in the explanations of the cycles that we're coming from and going into. If you, for those of you who are listening and unable to see the chart, you will be able to pull up the YouTube video tomorrow. I'll have it posted tomorrow and take a look at this really wonderful chart that Susan has going on.
Yeah, so first I want to just show you a couple things in where we are right now in real time. So I'm going to share my screen.
Okay.
So right now, a couple things to keep in mind are that Regulus is a very big planet, and big is an understatement. It marks the leadership of the world. And so Regulus takes 2,000 years to go through a sign. Our solar system orbits around our sister star, Sirius. That entire cycle is 26,000 years. Regulus takes 2,000 years to go through a sign. During when we're the closest to Sirius, we're the most conscious. When we're the furthest from Sirius, we're the least conscious. The furthest part of our orbit from Sirius takes 2,000 years to go through. During darkness, 2,000 years, the same 2,000 years Regulus was in Leo. During darkness, we've been king and kingdom led. Regulus, as of 2012, which coincided with the end of the Mayan calendar, our solar system is coming back into consciousness out of the darkest part of our orbit from Sirius, going back into consciousness. The same year, 2012, Regulus clicked into Virgo. Now the healing goddess energy is the leadership of the world, and she's coming for everyone, one way or another. If you go back to, so if it takes 2,000 years, it would be 12,000 years. Regulus was in Pisces. The fall of Atlantis, Regulus was in Pisces.
Mm.
So the leadership of the world was trying to open up to divinity in our humanness.
And I find that so significant because, I'm a Pisces. And I was not aware that Regulus was in Pisces at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Regulus in Virgo flipped, right?
Right.
It means that we have to show up. We have to participate. We can't just pray it away. And I think one of the things that happened during the fall of Atlantis is that we thought we could pray it right.
Yes.
And we can't.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Yeah. We have to show up.
Yep.
Show
service.
Up.
Service.
In service, in devotion, in turning wrongs into rights. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do. If you look at the long cycle, I want to note that this involves some Hindu within it, some information from Sanskrit texts that I am not an expert on. And I thought I could become an expert real fast, but I can't. Okay, so I will speak to the astrology of this. This is about 25,000 years, the cycle that we go through. We're here. So right the end of the Mayan calendar was December 21st, 2012. This marks 2013. Right here. This is where we are. This is, if you look at the entire cycle of our orbit around Sirius, this would mean that the opposite place in this cycle would be about 12,000 years ago. That is the fall of Atlantis. So we went through trying to make reality feel like divinity, and we went down because we couldn't hold it. But we were going to go into a descent no matter what. I really want to make that clear for the people who feel like, oh God, we did it wrong. We didn't do it wrong. We were going to go into a descent no matter what. But when you go into a descent, you find out the treasure. It's the cycle. It's the hero's journey. Yes. The hero's journey is you go into the underworld, you find a boon, and you bring it up to the top. So we needed this cycle. Now we're going to go into the age of Aquarius, which there are several different diagrams for this cycle, this Hindu cycle. No matter what diagram you look at, we're coming out of the Iron Age. We're going back into enlightenment. Coming out of the Iron Age means that we're going to have to dismantle how our humanness has become mechanized, meaning we're being used for our labor and our consumption, that materialism has reigned, that we've lost our consciousness. We've forgotten how connected we are. We have shut down our intuitive abilities. That is being dismantled. And if you think that that would be real easy, you would be mistaken. That's hard. It's hard to dismantle that. So the age of Aquarius, what I've been saying for quite some time, is that people have thought that the age of Aquarius would be like, whoa, and everything is one. But that's not true. It's going to involve a lot of work. We're going to have to recognize that we are responsible for humanity. And I think that we're probably going to get it wrong at first. I think that we're going to go into a lot of AI that's going to go too far.
Right.
We have to dismantle that too. It's shedding all of that about the Iron Age is going to be difficult. But we're still going up, not down. No matter what you do, you cannot make the solar system go backwards, nor can you make Regulus go backwards. You can't do it. We're going up, not down, no matter what. We're going to turn wrongs into rights. We're going to elevate our consciousness. We are going to repair the ties that bind us together in humanity, no matter what. It's just challenging in that time between. If you look at theology and some mysticism about what it's like in between ages, it's very tumultuous. There's a lot of upheaval. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of violence. But it's because if it was easy to go between ages, we would have already done it. Something has to force us to grow into something completely different, to evolve. And so when we are facing times that feel like, oh my God, are we going to make it to the other side? Yes, we're going to make it to the other side, no matter what. We just have to hang in there and be willing to evolve.
You know, and I've always said contrast is our greatest teacher.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I believe that's why we come to Earth. One of the main reasons is we get to experience things like duality and contrast and challenges, because it allows our soul to have experiences we don't get to have anywhere else. Mm. We are multidimensional cosmic super beings. I mean, that's really what we are, as metahumans embodied. And the experiences that we are moving through and facing and overcoming today are really helping us to understand our multidimensional nature, you know, pulling in those other aspects of ourselves from these other realities and timelines that really are here to assist us, integrate with them, and allow that integration to help us become capable of doing things, creating in ways we have not explored before, or maybe not for 13,000 years. So what I really love about that chart, and we're going to pull it up again after we take a break here in a few minutes. What I really love about that chart is the colors really outline specifically what was going on astrologically in each and every cycle. So as we move into the new golden age, talk to me a little bit about what you see coming for us that is going to be good and helpful.
One is, I know this sounds simple, but it's not. And I really mean it in the most intense possible, is there will be a lot of mercy. A lot of mercy to ourselves and to each other. That unconsciousness is so separate and so dense and so violent, right? That even our souls get hurt by it. I think that I agree with you. I think a lot of us are not from here, that we come from other places. We go into this human thing And I think that a lot of us, when we recognize the density and separateness of being human on planet Earth, we didn't recognize what we were signing up for.
Right.
And it's shocking. Right?
Yes.
And so to move into finding ourselves and each other involves a lot of humbleness and a lot of grace and a lot of mercy about, yes, it was actually that hard. And you cannot heal a human wound without being human. So every incarnation that we're in, it is through the work that we go through, the experiences that we have, that heals our soul. So our soul, every time we heal through an atrocity, a trauma, a difficult moon, whatever, our soul is like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. Because our soul can't heal without our individuated incarnations.
Right.
Recognizing that we're connected to ourselves, to each other, to our souls. And I really firmly believe that we're connected to every incarnation we've ever had, because time happens in a spiral and it's all happening at once. So yes. Right now you have an incarnation that is in the Spanish Inquisition right now.
And right. You're like,
hang on, honey. I got it. Right. Like you're trying to heal her and trying to say, I'm going to show up for you. Hang on. I almost got it. Like
yes.
That kind of stuff. Right. It's all happening at the same time. I think that oneness is the golden age.
Right.
When we become whole again. And I'm hesitant to tell this, but I think I'm going to. When I had, four years ago, I had my appendix taken out. It was an emergency surgery, whatever. They must have given me a lot of anesthesia because I had a wonderful trip to my home planet, right? And I had the experience. I don't care if it's anesthesia or if it was real. I don't care. I had the experience of recognizing what oneness feels like.
And and if it's real or not, if it works, who cares?
If it exalts you, if it's healing, who cares?
Right.
It doesn't matter, okay? So the experience was being amongst countless other individuals, but everyone was connected and everything was a tone. It went all at once. And
beautiful.
Everyone knew what everyone was doing and thinking and feeling. We were all connected.
Yes.
That is what we're moving towards. Now, it's not going to happen by next Thursday, okay? It's going to take time.
Darn it.
Yeah. And a lot of work. But I think that people think that heaven will look like, you know, bags of diamonds and all the donuts you want. And that's not what it is. It is peace. It is mercy. It is humbleness. It is a tone. Mm. It is connection that feels like finally grace. That's what it is.
You know, and you and I, we really speak the same language. I'm going to go ahead and let Zach take us to a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this topic. And I want to talk a little bit more about something you refer to as shattering into wholeness. And I also want to speak to how we are actually, you and I, we really talk the same language. It's so great. How we are self-healing, like how we are utilizing this line of time here to heal ourselves multidimensionally. You know, you stepped into it really, really well, and we'll continue that dialogue and talk a little bit more about the astrology of Atlantis.
Time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? Tune into a spirited exchange radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We discuss the evolution of the modern mind and how the power of awakening, healing, and connecting allows us to step into living a life of love in action. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Hello, friends. This is Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. We all have a path to walk on our journey of life. There's no right and there's no wrong path. It's simply the path we've chosen. We also know that everyone and everything is composed of energy. Just as there's a positive, there is a negative. Just as there's light, there is dark, and of course, just as there is resistance, there is non-resistance. We are the creators of our life story. We are the captain of our ship. We are the producer of our movie. And as we walk our path, we have the free will to use our energy accordingly. I hope you have a wonderful day, filled with love, light, joy, and of course, non-resistant, free-flowing energy. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Aloha, my friends, and welcome back to Tales from the Merworld Radio, where we explore the ancient lands of Atlantis and Lemuria. My name is Amerabath Merhealer. You can find me at Amerabath.com and also on Facebook under Amerabath Merhealer. If you are just now tuning in, I'm having an amazing conversation with my dear friend, Susan Grace, who is an intuitive astrologer. Our topic today is the astrology of Atlantis. And Susan, will you talk to us a little bit about where people can find you and a little bit more about your intuitive astrology sessions?
Sure. So you can find me on susangrace.org, and you can read more about my philosophy and my background there. I also have a community that I'm building under Be the Evidence. It's nice. BeTheEvidence.live, and when you register as a member at BeTheEvidence.live, you get an invitation to join an app, and I have a new app for Be the Evidence that is by invitation only, and through there, I text people in real time as the astrology is shifting. We have weekly live calls. I give the daily read of the energies. I give astro alerts about what's happening in real time, and it's a community of support for us in a time of chaos that feels safe. And the way that I came up with Be the Evidence was I was taking care of my boss at the time. I used to be in the corporate world. He had a bout with cancer, and I was taking him to MD Anderson often for treatments. And when I was walking through that hospital, I felt suffering everywhere because I have a lot of water in my chart. I feel everything all the time, and I felt it everywhere. And we had to stay overnight. So in my hotel room, there was one night whenever I went back to my hotel room, when I thought to myself, when I say things like all wounds are healable, or we're going up, not down, or the astrology is always in your favor, things like that. How do you know that's true when you're surrounded by suffering? How do you know that's true? And instantly I picked up a pen and wrote down, be the evidence, be the evidence of it. Be the evidence of healing up, of doing better, of recognizing your trauma and taking responsibility for it and do better. Help other people, mend the ties that bind. Be the evidence of it. And that's where I've been coming from in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, before that, the reason I even got into doing this kind of work was I went through my own darkness. And it felt like I was at the bottom of a deep, dark well. And I just felt something say, you have to start climbing. You have to start climbing. And once I started climbing and got myself out with the assistance of other people, then I recognized that at the top of every deep, dark well, there are the well watchers. The well watchers are people who have gotten out of their own well, and they mine the top of the wells. And they say, if you'll just start climbing, I will be here when you get here, and I'll pull you all the way out. The well watchers, there are countless. They never leave, and they're always here. The well watchers, I think, is the work that we do. We're the well watchers, and we don't leave. So just start climbing, and there is always assistance, and we're never going to leave. We're never going to stop.
You know, and something I really have always loved about you is your level of compassion and your level of understanding and meeting people where they are at, no matter what their life has been like or what they have done. You know, and I've always said, nobody wants a vanilla healer. We all want to work with somebody who, as you say, has dirt underneath their fingernails, who has made a lot of mistakes, who has fucked shit up and is now making that climb to course correct their own soul history, to course correct their own karma, their dharma, and just come back into, as you said before the segment, that space of wholeness. And some of the amazing gifts that we have on this planet right now, because I really believe as a past life regression facilitator, I have seen miracles happen through people going into their own soul history and tuning that information and having, you know, this person from this lifetime and this being from this lifetime communicate with them and find out what's happening in that reality and bring it all together multidimensionally so that the whole soul can heal. We have all these great modalities. We have meditation, we have shamanic work, we have these astrology readings, we have past life regression, and there's never been a better time in history than right now for us to be successful. And all these ventures our soul has been trying to do for thousands and thousands of years. And you know, you have a really great line. Something else that you're very known for is talking about shattering into wholeness. So how would you relate that term? Explain shattering into wholeness and like how maybe that connects us to course correcting, repairing the spiral of Atlantis for ourselves individually.
So the fall of Atlantis began a descent into separateness, density, confusion, chaos, darkness. And when that happens, it's almost like we become encased in concrete. Like we follow traditions. We do what's always been done. We do as we're told. We follow all the rules. We don't think for ourselves. We don't create new things. We shut down our humanness. We shut down our feeling. We shut down our intuition. We shut down the ties that bind us together. It becomes dense, 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 right? And so in order to break free of that, we have to have a shattering. We have to shatter away from what's always been done, what you should and shouldn't do, recognizing that we can create new worlds, recognizing that we have unlimited possibilities. And I'm not joking about unlimited possibilities. I mean, unlimited. Okay. And like, we're printing hearts now. Like, right. What the hell is that? Right? Like past what you think is possible, there's even more. Shattering out of the unlocked cages we've been put in, because the unlocked cages feel like safety to us. If we do what is accepted, if we do what gives us, acceptance and purpose and acknowledgement, then we're good. But meanwhile, our hearts are dying. Meanwhile, we forget about our neighbor. Meanwhile, we deny our intuition. If we're shutting down our humanness to do what should be done in a system that wants us to become mechanized, then we're dying. We're dying. And so the image that keeps coming to my head that I talk about in readings a lot, it's like as if you were made of porcelain, but you're encased in concrete. Mm. The shifts that are happening now in Capricorn and next into Aquarius, when we shift into the age of Aquarius too, from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And the placements that we've had in Capricorn are going into Aquarius. When we're going into Aquarius, it's like there's a jackhammer going at the concrete, going, no, 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 trying to free you. But don't you think that if you were made of porcelain inside concrete and you hear a jackhammer coming out you, you would be like, oh, God, don't break the porcelain. Right? So it's like it's trying to shatter what's keeping us encased so that we can expand out and show our brilliance and our rarity.
Beautiful. So I have an Aquarius rising. And one of the greatest attributes of my being able to work through my Aquarius rising is Aquarians have the ability to detach. Detachment can be a very good and healthy thing, but then it can also be, you know, a quality that we take on because we don't want to look or we don't want to feel, and we want to kind of reject or not tap in. So as we move into the age of Aquarius, where there's going to be all this ingenuity and all this new thinking, and you mentioned AI, how is the quality, like maybe the kind of the shadow side of a quality of Aquarius that is has to do with that detachment and that kind of like sort of robotic energy sometimes? How do we look at that, and how can we make sure we're not falling into that quality?
Okay, so I've been talking with a lot of Aquarian energy, so I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But people with strong Aquarian energy, that description of detachment, I think comes from you all knowing that there's a better way for humanity to be doing this, but you know that we wouldn't understand it if you tried to explain it to us. So it's like y'all are all doing this wrong and you just wait for us to catch up.
Okay.
Right. So that's the detachment, but we're going to start catching up to you.
Okay.
We're going to start catching up. We're going to start to heal. But remember that here, I'll show you again. Remember that we're coming out of the Iron Age into enlightenment, right? When you're coming out of the Iron Age, we have to dismantle all the things that have mechanized us and made us dense. And so I think that one of the steps will be, we think that we're being future forward in things like AI, mm-hmm. but it's going to take us a while to understand, no, it is the ties that bind us together.
Right.
The ties that bind us together are future forward.
Right.
Right. So right now, Saturn and Mars are together in Aquarius. I think that that's making us during a time when the whole world is in a timeout.
Yes.
Right. So trying to figure out what resonates with us and what doesn't, and what is your role within it. Saturn's going to retrograde back into Capricorn, grab Jupiter, and they're both going to come into a grand conjunction. It's called a grand conjunction because those two only come together every 20 mm-hmm. years at 0 degrees Aquarius, December 21st. And I think that that is going to say, okay, listen, you all are responsible for humanity. Do something about yes. it. Let's go. Right. And so a lot of people, and then Pluto's going to join into Aquarius in 2024, and Pluto's going to slow down and be in Aquarius for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto takes that sign down to bone about something. And so probably we're going to go too far and think that technology is the answer. And it's not.
Right.
Humanity is the answer.
Humanity. And you know, one of the narratives in kind of the metaphysical community and people who are attuned to Atlantean energy is that we are going to repeat the cycle and the downfall of Atlantis. And I think it's really important for all of you, for everybody listening, to understand this is not a repeat. We are not going down the same path, even though in many ways it looks like it, into the destruction and the fall of Atlantis for reasons you just said, that we are now learning about humanity, that nothing trumps humanity. And anything we want to put out there technology-wise, anything that makes our lives better, easier, faster, there is absolutely nothing like human connection. And there is absolutely nothing like our connection to God, to Source. And we are learning that kind of the hard way in many respects. But we are learning in this way so we really, really get it. It's kind of like we have to break. Everything has to break down. All these structures have to fall for us to remember what's really real, and that's love, and that's human connection, and that is our humanity. And this is not a repeat of Atlantis. This is a resurrection and an ascension and a course correction into something that is going to be even more amazing eventually than what we even had Atlantis and in the time of Lemuria.
Yeah, so technology is wonderful when it brings us together.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and let technology take off, and it's going to. I mean, some people think that we're going to get technological influence from places that aren't here. I mean, it's going to get wild, right? But we can't forget that the point of technology is to bring us back into humanness and our connections with each other,
right?
And one of the things that I tried to describe to people during this cycle of coming out of darkness is that, and I've been saying this for about 7 years, and I think people didn't really believe me, but they're starting to, is that it's going to feel very convincing that we're going down.
Yes.
It's going to feel like
right.
that. But the reason it feels that way is probably because most of us were here during the fall. And during the fall, suffering was coming up when we were going down. So there was a rush of suffering, right? So now coming out of it, we're going up and suffering is going down. But from our perspective, it feels like a rush of suffering.
Yes.
But it's the opposite direction.
Yes.
And so that's what I mean by we're going up, not down. It feels very convincing that we're going down, but that's from our limited perception.
Yes. And that's from our kind of that PTSD.
Yeah.
that most of us carry from the fall of many, many different civilizations, you know, and my belief is that there is only one plan and one path for planet Earth, and that's ascension. There is only one outcome, although there can be a couple of different mindsets. You know, there's going to be the camp or the team that really sees it as destruction and as a fall, and that may become the reality for those folks. But for those of us who really know and understand and are entrained as spirit and came here to create the new Atlantis, who came here to create the new Earth, we have been told there will be no failure, that it will happen. And as long as we continue to attune our frequencies to love and to trust and to step into that role of creators that we are, like fully step into that role, then we're already there. We're already ascending with the new Earth.
Yeah, and I think it's important to respect the full cycle as well,
yes.
right? Full respect to winter, full respect to descent, right? We will get to a point, again, not by next Thursday, but eventually, we will get to the point when we look back at our descent and we will feel grateful for it, because the knowingness of finding ourselves and each other and back into oneness is something we would not have full respect for had we not felt the separateness of the descent. It is
yes.
something that we'll look back and we will say, I would do this 1,000 times over. This is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and one of the purposes of this show is to remind all of you that we are eternal beings. We are souls. There is no death. There is only the creation and the recreation of different forms of life. And when we take that perspective that we are eternal beings who don't die, we're just embodying a body, that gives me a great deal of comfort to know that, you know, I'm a ghost in a meat-covered skeleton, right?
Yeah.
Right? Really capable through my own mind and through my thoughts of anything I choose or select. And when you come from that experience, there really is no right or wrong path. There's only which path do you think you want to take? Which path of learning do you want to take today?
Absolutely. And for people keeping score at home, quantum physics even says that.
Yes.
Quantum physics says that all of existence is a wave. All yes. of existence is a wave of consciousness. It only becomes a particle or materializes based on what we pay attention to. So we happen to be paying attention to separateness, shadow boxing, finding each other, genocide, whatever. I mean, we happen to be paying attention to this as a lesson, but ultimately we are all one wave. I don't know about you, but that gives me great comfort. I'm like, yes. Okay, well, let's keep doing this. Let's keep doing it. All right. Awesome. That
yes,
ultimately,
wonderful.
Ultimately we are one wave.
Right.
That is eternal.
That is eternal. All in this together. Mm-hmm. So what, in your opinion, is the greatest astrological asset happening right now that is going to take us or support us into co-creating the new Atlantis?
Pluto. Yeah. I mean, everybody pays attention to the fast moving planets, and you should. Okay. Neptune would be second place in my opinion. Neptune is, takes shorter amount of time to go through a sign. Neptune around the same time as Pluto shifting signs is mm-hmm. going to go into Aries. And I think that's going to make us recognize that we have lost our connection to spirit and we need to get it back real quick.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
But Pluto slowing down and going through Aquarius during the same time that Pluto was conjunct Jupiter and Saturn in Capricorn, that goes back to 1284. Neptune in its own sign goes back to the election of Abraham Lincoln. Uranus in Taurus goes back to the buildup to World War II. Last time Chiron was in Pisces into Aries was 50 years ago when we didn't even know what Chiron was. To have all that happening at the same time, I don't know that it's ever happened before. And so when Pluto in 2024 clicks into Aquarius, it's going to go, all right, now what are we going to do with all that? A lot. We're going to do a lot with it.
A lot. Really, the power of potential, it's so completely open wide. And if our hearts are also open wide to the power of potential, I think we're capable. I think we don't even know what we're capable of creating.
That's right. And you want to stay there, right?
Yeah.
You want to stay into Aquarius and Uranus. Uranus rules Aquarius, right? So if you stay in that energy, what I've been telling people is you cannot predict what Aquarius and Uranus is going to do. You can't. By definition, it's going to surprise you. So if you will just hold the note of whatever it is, I'm here for it. Awesome.
Susan,
that's
tell us again. We're getting ready to close down the show in a few minutes. Tell us again where people can find you, what kind of astrology readings that you do, and any specials you might have happening right now.
Yeah, so SusanGrace.org is where you can work one-on-one with me. So natal chart readings are 90 minutes. If you've already had a reading with me before, I have tune-ups that are 1 hour to get you caught up to where you are right now. I have a flash reading that's 15 minutes if you just have a quick question. Also,
wow.
If you just want to see what it's like to be with me, then I'll give you a discount code to take that off of a full natal chart reading later if you want to go forward with that. I also have intensives. Intensives are 4 weeks in a row where we go all the way in. We look at your progress chart, the chart of your soul, all kinds of stuff. I give you tools in between the weeks. It's a lot, but I have people who have been doing intensives with me for years.
Okay? Right.
And then again, BeTheEvidence.live is where you can get an invite to the app. I don't have a sale going on right now. It just ended April 1st, but there'll be another one.
You know, worth it. She's worth it. And I know from years of working with you, as you know, as my number one astrologer and as my friend who knows me and loves me dearly, that, you know, your help and your advice and your tuitions have guided me greatly in my life. And I so appreciate you being not only on my show, but also on planet Earth with all of us, you know, being a whale watcher. Here in Kauai, we might call it a whale watcher. It sounded so much like that. You're
yeah.
a whale, but it's like that spout coming up from the surface. You know, we're watching for that spout. We're watching for the sign. You're watching for that sign that you're coming up out of the well, out of the water. And we're going to be there. You know, you'll be there to help people come up to the surface and take a clean, fresh breath of air. Thank you to everybody for joining me for Tales from the Merworld Radio today. My name is Amira Beth Merhealer. You can find me at AmiraBeth.com. Next show will be, 2 weeks from today. I think that might be the 22nd of April, but I'm not sure. I look forward to visiting with you all then. And until then, you know, your pearl from the Mer world today, I always offer a little bit of a pearl from the Mer world, is to be the well watcher in somebody else's life. Be that light. Be that one standing there with your heart wide open, you know, to pull our brothers and sisters up to the surface as we rise together. Thank you for allowing me to express myself. Thank you, Susan, and aloha.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amira Beth, exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria. Tune in live every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we raise vibrations through stimulating conversations, exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria. For more information or to connect with me, visit AmiraBath.com.